The Winners Club is the weekly podcast that shares the highlights and insights from some of the most meaningful and impactful conversations from the number one community on Clubhouse, The Winners Club.
Hello and welcome to this edition of The Winners Club, the weekly podcast that shares highlights and insights from some of the most meaningful, impactful conversations from the number one community on Clubhouse, The Winners Club. You are joining us here today for some key lessons and learning shared during the week by our selection of world-class speakers who include billionaires, business icons and elite-level performers from across the globe. In this episode, I'm very excited because this is actually a very good pal of mine. We are joined by the fantastic leader. This is Efrosini Adamidis, and this episode is all about lessons in leadership. Now, Efrosini, I go on to talk about this in the actual podcast itself, so I won't tell you too much stuff because you'll learn it shortly. But she's created a team of around 400,000 people in over 50 countries around the world. She's an entrepreneur, speaker, successful coach and trainer, and she's generated in excess of $1 billion in revenue across all of her businesses. And in the last 11 years, she's actually led over 30 individuals to become self-made millionaires. I did not know that until one of my team had done some research. I'm glad that I read that. In this episode, you'll hear Efrosini sharing all about what makes a good leader, how to bring out the best in your team members, how to develop new leaders, how to turn obstacles into opportunities, the best routes to having vitality and productivity. And Efrosini also recommends some of the very best personal development as well. So enjoy this episode. We're now going to cut across to the keynote talk that Efrosini gave as part of one of the Winners Club rooms that we run every single Sunday, the Daily Habits of High Performance. And if you enjoy this conversation, if you'd like to join in with this sort of content live, make sure you go onto Clubhouse. If you're on it, make sure you follow the Winners Club. And we are there running all kinds of cool rooms every single day. And this is one such conversation. So we'll see you in the club, hopefully. But until that point, enjoy this episode of the Winners Club podcast. As always, here on a Sunday, on the Daily Habits of High Performance, at 10 o'clock, we are bringing up a mid-morning masterclass. And today we have got a fantastic leader. She's created a team of over 400,000 people, 50 countries around the world, and done $1 billion in sales. She's also just so happens to be one of my very good pals for like 15 years. Efrosini Adamidis is here. She is a very big deal within her space. She's spoken on some of the biggest stages around the world, coached and mentored huge, huge teams of people. She was the first ever person who got me into personal development as well. A leader of the highest regard, I would say, and she's going to be giving us a mid-morning masterclass, and then we're going to be opening it up after she's done to Q&A with Efrosini as well. Very excited to welcome to the Winners Club, Efrosini Adamidis. Are you there, my friend?
Of course I am. Thank you for that awesome introduction, James. Good to be here.
My pleasure. Thank you for being here. So we're going to do... We'll allow you to do a little intro of your own in a minute, but just to give a little bit of context before the content. So in 2006, I had been a cabaret singer and I was like, I need a proper job. So I went and I started looking around and I got a job in broadcast PR. Slight issue was that I didn't really know what broadcast PR was. And I walked into this office one day and there's about 30 team members there. And I didn't know, I don't even know the polite way to put this. I didn't know my ass from my elbow. And I was like, I don't really know what I'm going to be doing here. And Efrosini led a meeting of all the salespeople. And she said, guys, we need to focus. And I said, what did she say? And they were like, she said, focus. I was like, okay, cool. But she, which I always loved. And the team, it just made me laugh every single day. But Efrosini was an incredible leader. And I was like, do you know what? I quickly clocked. Whilst there were people who were all right at their job, I was like, there's something about this lady. She's not just good at her job. She's phenomenal at her job. She was amazing at leading people. She was amazing at leading a team. She was always the top of the sales board. She was always the top in terms of numbers of calls made, number of client engagements, number of meetings, number of proposals that were out, which was the sort of the key performance indicators that were being marked on. And the first couple of months, I was like, oh, well, maybe she got lucky. And then I was like, nah, there's no luck. The lightning doesn't strike in the same place again and again and again. So I started to sort of watch Efrosini more closely and listen to her more closely. And I had a 3-hour commute at this point. I used to live in Southeast London, which was like zone 5. And I used to go on the train into zone 1, back out to zone 6 in Boreham Wood, which is now, I think they're trying to make it into like the media temple of the United Kingdom, but it definitely wasn't at this point in time. It was just like dodgy old office blocks and kebab shops, frankly. And I used to do this 3-hour commute, and Efrosini asked me, she said, what are you doing on your commute? And I was like, I'm listening to music. And she went, why don't you try some reading? And I wasn't really bothered, frankly. And then she handed me the book, Think and Grow Rich. And she said, try this. This is one of my books. Read this and give it back to me when you're done with it. And just let me know what you think. And I think I devoured it over a weekend and I absolutely loved it. And that was the catalyst. And she was the catalyst to me becoming interested in personal development, in self-improvement, in just trying to be, do and have more. So when I never forget, if anyone sort of talks about, oh, you know, what got you into what you're doing now, I always give Efrosini credit for being the catalyst to that. She's a phenomenal person, a very good friend of mine, and has been for the last 15 years. And she, I've watched her climb the top of several ladders. And every time she does it with speed, tenacity, dignity, and she just inspires and motivates people as she does it. So I'm very excited to have her here today. God, I'll tell you what, after that big up, you better be good, haven't you? Efrosini Adomidis, if you were going to give yourself a little intro, what would it be?
Well, firstly, thank you for that awesome introduction, James. I mean, out of those people that we worked with together back in those days, you were one of those hidden gems that I said to myself, this guy, there's just this little spark in his eye, a spring in his step, and I can see this guy's going to do some great things. And man, was I right, because you just dominated every single area you got into. And again, now the king of podcasts. So to be here in Clubhouse and to get invited into a room like this, firstly, thank you for the honor. Now, for those of you guys that we haven't yet met, I'll do a little intro about me. Firstly, you're probably trying to figure out my very weird accent, and I'm going to try to stay away from the word focus.
It's got so much better in 15 years. I'll never forget that first time. I was like, what did she say? Oh, you used to make me so juvenile, but made me laugh every day.
So I'm originally from Cyprus. This is where I'm actually based at this point in time. I spent half my life living in Australia, though, and the other half living between Cyprus, London, slash a little bit of Lithuania. And I have one of those accents that sometimes changes depending what I drink. If I have a beer, it sounds more Australian. If I have a coffee, it sounds more Cypriot, and I'm not going to go into the rest. So we'll go into leadership, and I was actually really enjoying listening to the different thoughts on leadership and the different styles of leadership earlier. As James shared, I've had some experience in leadership. Some of it was accidental. I didn't always consider myself a leader, but ever since I was young, I was always inspired by great leaders. Sometimes not the best forms of leadership. I'll give an example. When I was a little kid, coming from Cyprus, of course, one of my biggest inspirations from a young age was Alexander the Great, because I loved the fact that he created such a big legacy that thousands of years later, people still know and remember his name. Having said that, as you grow older and you realize that sometimes the type of leadership that you follow is not always the best type of leadership, and especially, you know, reading a lot about Alexander the Great and realizing that my leadership style at the beginning was a little bit like his, in the sense that it was authoritarian type of leadership that came from a place of power and title rather than empowerment. And as I started reading that, I started developing myself. As James said, I gave him his first book of Think and Grow Rich. But I remember getting into personal development, and the more that I studied leadership, I realized that's not the kind of leadership that I wanted to associate myself with. So I went down the personal development kind of path, got into running several different businesses, run a real estate company, a property sourcing company based out of London, then got into the network marketing, relationship selling space. And essentially, that's when I started realizing that there's other forms of leadership that help you to empower people and help them to create a better version of themselves. So I said to myself, if there was a way that I could sit there and look at what over the last 20 years, 25 years or so, leading people in different jobs and different careers, and put it down to four key things, I created an acronym, because I find that sometimes acronyms are a better way to remember different steps that you're training people on. And the acronym is based on love. Now, if you, James knows me for quite some time, that's probably not the first type of acronym I would use 15 years ago.
I'm a little bit surprised it's an acronym you use now, frankly.
See, that's what I thought. People that know me sometimes are surprised by that. But then what I realized is that over the years is that the way that you make people feel is what is always going to determine how they'll behave around you. And if you find a way to make people feel special around you, that's always going to help them to push themselves out of their comfort zone, to be willing to step, take the extra step. Because here's the thing, is that people will do things for a paycheck, absolutely. But recognition, making people feel special, people have died for this over the years. People have fought wars because they wanted recognition. So if there's a way to make your team feel loved, that's one thing. If there's a way to make your team fall in love with you, I mean, sometimes, of course, that can get a little bit dangerous if you do, if you got to make sure that you don't abuse that, of course. But when people actually love you as a person, that's one of the things that they will make them push the extra mile, because they're always going to feel that connection with you and they want to make you proud. And the thing is that I first realized that this is the kind of leadership that I wanted to duplicate when I met one of my mentors. And he just had this special way that when you walked into the room, it didn't matter where you came from, it didn't matter what your story was, he just had this special way of making you feel like you were the only person in the room. And even if you didn't have a big story at the time, he made you feel like you could conquer the world. And that was my first experience when I got into certain jobs. I remember meeting someone that I aspired to be quite a few years ago. And I remember going up to them and I just wanted to shake their hand. And I just wanted to take a picture with them. And they turned around and they looked at me and they said, "What leadership role do you have?" Because that the answer that I was going to give was going to determine whether they would actually give me some of their time. And from that moment, I decided that's not someone that I wanted to follow, because they didn't make me feel like I was someone special. So the thing is that when we go back to the acronym of LOVE and we talk about leadership, the first letter, which is L, stands for leaders lead. Now, I think it was Matt that said earlier, he goes, it's not just about leading from the top of the pyramid, but it's flipping the pyramid upside down. And I totally agree that it's also a very key example. And leading from the top, because you've got to lead by example, you've got to show people what's possible. But at the same time, you've got to be willing to take your foot out of the way for people to walk into your footsteps. And I think a great example of this is that if you've ever watched geese flying together, they always fly together in a V formation. There's always a leading bird that is there to show the way. And the way they, what they actually do is that they're flying the hardest, they're working the hardest, but when they need to take a rest, what they do is that they drop back and they let another bird take the lead. And that V formation never changes, because they're working towards that common goal together. And this is completely contrary to, for example, the authoritarian type of leadership like Alexander the Great, that built such a huge legacy, went to spread, you know, whether he did the right approach or not, that's a total different conversation, of course. But what he managed to accomplish in his short period on this earth was miraculous. But yet when he essentially passed on, that legacy, that empire that he built, that thousands and thousands of people lost their lives for, completely crumbled. Because when you have a dictatorial or authoritarian kind of leadership, it's so micromanaging, it's so controlled, that if you step out of the way for a little bit, everybody becomes lost, because they're always looking at you on what to do next. And this was actually one of the lessons that I had, I remember, in my transition from the different types of leadership, because it doesn't matter what kind of leadership that role that you're in right now, it matters what kind of leader you want to be, because you can always evolve, you can always change. And I remember Going back, I think it was 2009 when I first got onto my entrepreneurial journey. And I remember I had a business in London and I also had a business in Cyprus. And what I was doing is that I would literally fly back and forth every single month. And what would happen is that when I was in London, my UK business would thrive, but Cyprus would slow down. Then I'd jump on a plane, I'd go to Cyprus, I'd be there for a week or two. Cyprus business would start thriving, but UK would slow down. And I remember doing that back and forth and back and forth. And I'm going, what am I doing wrong? Why is it that when I'm there, my business is thriving, but when I walk away, my business starts to drop? And that's one of the things that I remember sitting down with my mentor and having a conversation. And he said, the true level of leadership is not how productive your team is when you're there, but how productive your team is when you're not there. He goes, because the thing is that there's different types of leaders, right? There's the leaders that develop followers. And sometimes, and we all have to go, of course, through this phase before we go into the next phase. But those leaders like to be the significant one. They like to feel important. And, you know, that's why I believe it was Miriana, if I pronounced that correctly, talked about that sort of, they almost feel threatened if someone becomes stronger than them. And those leaders will never lead a huge organization because they always want to be the center of attention. And if someone starts to rise in leadership, they feel threatened by that. So they tend to subconsciously squash that person that is basically trying to rise up. Now, the next level of leadership, though, is leaders who develop leaders because they're not threatened by someone becoming stronger than them. In fact, they thrive by someone becoming stronger than them, because if you start to develop leaders, especially when you get them to the point where they don't need you, guess what? That's where you start having some freedom in your business rather than just feeling like you need to be there for everything to happen. That if you take a week off from your business, you know, the sales would drop, for example. Your team will not be as productive because you're not there in order to motivate them, to inspire them, to hold them accountable. You know, so how productive is your team when you're not there? That's one of the key things. So this is one of the things that I always have in my mind, that, you know, the GIS formation is that who's the person that I know that I'm empowering in order to step up when I'm away? And more importantly, when I come back and they've done a great job, I'm going to give them the recognition that they need because I want to make them stronger. I want them to give them the kind of feeling that if I'm not there, they're going to make me proud, because people will end up fulfilling to your expectation. And sometimes the mistake that I used to make is that I'd always be thinking, if I'm not there, are they performing? Are they, you know, are they doing the sales calls they need to be, or are they scrolling on Facebook and pretending to be working, for example? And because I had those doubts and I had those fears, that's what I ended up attracting. Now, the other thing is as well is that great leaders are also experts, become experts of turning obstacles into opportunities. I just got back from a trip to Dubai, and Dubai was one of those places that, I don't know, maybe I prejudged it. It was never high on my priority list. I love nature, I love history, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to go to a modern city that could be a city like any other city. When I went there, I was literally so inspired by the story of Dubai and how essentially Dubai was created out of big obstacles that could have turned into disasters, essentially. In fact, what a lot of people may not know is that up until, I think it was the 1920s or the 1930s, Dubai in that region had was basically one of the biggest contributors to the economy, the GDP, was pearl, you know, pearls. And pearls started to run out. So then they had to diversify and they had to think of other solutions. And of course, then there was the oil. But in fact, around the early 1990s, they started to realize that oil was drying up. And when you've got one of the biggest contributors to your oil, to your GDP drying up, you realize that if you don't find a way to diversify, you're going to be in trouble. So one of the things that they said that they would focus on is that they would pivot, they would take this obstacle and turn it into a huge opportunity. And they said that they wanted to create a city that would attract so much tourism from around the world. And not just tourism, they focused on the three T's: trade, transportation, and tourism. And during that period between 1995 to 2015, Dubai managed to increase its GDP from 11 billion to 101 billion. Now, here's the interesting thing, is that the contribution of all revenues to its GDP reduced from 18% to 1.2%. Not because they did it consciously, but because essentially played such a small role by the end of it because it was already drying up. But they invested so much in expanding all these other areas that during that time, their economy flourished. And one of the things that they made it as a mission as well is that they made it a mission to break the most Guinness Book of Records during that time. In fact, I believe they hold something like over 400 different records that they've broken, from the world's highest skyscraper that was ever built, the biggest ice ring, the biggest snow dome, and I mean, the list goes on and on. So they've literally, because of the vision of the royal family that are in power, they're literally taking something that could have been a disaster, turning it into this huge opportunity, and now Dubai has become this hub for around the world. And many, many companies from the Fortune 500 now have headquarters there. So I think this is one of the other key things to leadership, is that are you the kind of leader that can look at an obstacle, and where many people are focused on that obstacle, they get stuck on it, or are you the kind of person that is always going to see that opportunity into the obstacle and is able to shift the focus of your organization towards the opportunity and help them to teach them that way, that, you know, it doesn't matter how big the obstacle is, you're either going to thrive through it or you're going to learn something from it. V, because L-O-V is for vision. So I believe that a great leader has a very big vision, a vision that is so big that it also inspires the team. But there's no point having a great vision if your team doesn't buy into your vision. So my personal belief is that if you have a vision, it's one thing, but if you have a vision that people can co-create with, a mission that people can stand behind in, and especially if you're the kind of leader that your team loves and cares for because of your leadership style, because you make them feel that they can achieve anything because you empower them to be a better version of themselves, then it's amazing what you can accomplish when you have a small team of people towards a common vision. And one person that I personally inspire, that really, really inspires me over the last few years, is Nelson Mandela, that had such a big vision that he was willing to spend decades in prison for it, lose his freedom over it. And regardless of that, he never once tarnished his enthusiasm for that vision. I mean, imagine how powerful it is and how inspiring it is to spend, I believe it was 40 years in prison, and then as soon as you get released, they tell you, what do you want to do now with your freedom? He tells them, I want to go to the goal that I had before I went to prison, even though he was in his 80s by the time that that he was released. And now, essentially, his dream of creating equality for people in Africa is something that has become a reality. And yeah, of course, things are far from perfect all around the world, but I believe that's created a ripple effect that now is inspiring a lot more people to essentially get that to the point where everybody becomes equal, regardless of our background, our race, our religious beliefs. So last but not least is empowerment. And this is a word that I've used quite a lot through this course, because essentially I believe that it's a gift to be able to empower people to become a better version of themselves. And I remember one time that I had someone in my organization that I was mentoring. And I've met a lot of people over my life, but one of the things that I have made conscious effort towards is always to see people for who they can be rather than where they're at this point in time. And I believe more of us need to be able to do that, because sometimes people go through life and they take a few punches and they take a few hits. And I think with this challenging situation that the world has faced in the last couple of years, if there's one thing that people need now more than ever, apart from a clear vision for people to work towards, it's also people to give them that loving connection and for people to believe in them, to believe in them that they can accomplish something bigger. They can become a stronger version of themselves. And no matter what obstacle comes their way, they can find ways to overcome it. And I remember there was this lady on my team that I was mentoring, and we were about to go into a sales meeting at the time. And she said to me, "Frasini, look, I just don't know if I'm cut out to be an entrepreneur, because I know that I can basically sit down and meet with a lot of people and I don't have a problem in doing that." She goes, "But I just can't get people to follow me. I can't get people to join my team. I am bad at closing and I'm bad at leading." And one of the things that I said to her, I said, "You are who you say you are. And the more you keep voicing it, whatever you keep voicing, you're going to give it power. So do you want to keep voicing to the world that you can't get people to follow you, you cannot get people to join your business?" I said, "Or do you want to completely flip that and start voicing the fact that I am a leader that people are excited to follow? I am the kind of person that people are excited to join and to partner up with." And she said to me, "But what happens when I'm voicing it and I don't believe it?" I said, "Well, look, here's the thing. Sometimes you need to voice something enough times for your subconscious mind to really get into your subconscious mind so you start to believe it." And I said, "The more you say it, the more you will start to believe it." Well, the thing is that that particular person went on to essentially, it took her a few weeks, okay? But after a few weeks, the results started to change. And then she started to believe more that she could be that leader. And that person became one of my stronger leaders in my Eastern European market. I went on to expand the business in Lithuania and Ukraine. And in fact, right now she's in Dubai and getting ready to go over to Russia in order to expand the business. And I forget sometimes the words that I say to people because I speak to so many people, but I'll never forget when she got up on stage and she just said to everybody that it was because, you know, Frasini believed in me, that even though I didn't believe what she said about me, she goes, "But I chose to trust her and her belief in me." And every single time that I was out there and I was performing in my business, I just knew that I didn't want to let her down because of the belief that she gave in me. And guys, I'm not telling this to impress you. I just want to open up your mind to the possibilities that when you are a person that has authority, when you are a person that has respect, you have a leadership role, your words carry weight. And we all have the power in order to speak life into people, or sometimes our words can hold them back. And I want to share a quick story before I wrap this up, because starting with the book Think and Grow Rich, written by Napoleon Hill. And if any of you guys, maybe you haven't read this book, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. I've read many books by Napoleon Hill since then. And one of the books that I read about Napoleon Hill really went back into his childhood. And I didn't know this about him, but Napoleon Hill, believe it or not, when he was a little kid, he used to get up to no good. He was quite mischievous as a child, and in fact, lost his mom at a very, very young age. And at the time, his dad remarried, and he brought his stepmom back to the house to introduce her to the rest of the family. And you know, when someone is introducing someone new into the family, especially stepmom or stepdad, people are not always very accommodating. So Napoleon heard his family members, his aunties, saying, "Oh, she's coming to replace your mother." And Napoleon just had this attitude about him. And he stood there waiting to meet her, but not wanting to like her. And he had this attitude and he was looking at her with his arms crossed. And this lady came across with his dad, and his dad introduced her to all the family members, and then his dad brings her over to Napoleon, and he says to her, "Well, this is my youngest son, Napoleon. I don't think he's going to amount to anything. If anything, he'll probably serve some time in jail because he's always getting up to no good." And the stepmom turned around, she looked at Napoleon straight in the eyes, and she said, I believe he will do quite the opposite. I believe this boy is a very smart boy, and he will go on to accomplish great big things, but he's just being misunderstood. And that was the first time that somebody actually believed in Napoleon. And his stepmom managed to get into his heart. And in fact, his stepmom was the person that bought him a typewriter as his first gift, which got Napoleon into writing. And of course, if you don't know the story of Napoleon Hill, he went on to become a writer, a journalist. And he was the person that was chosen by Carnegie when essentially he invited him and he said to him, I want you to basically make a choice as to whether you're willing to invest the next 20 years or so in order to interview the most successful people in life, in order to identify what are the common criteria in all the successful people, what are the common things that they have. But he wasn't willing to pay him, but he said to him, the knowledge that you're going to acquire is essentially knowledge that will make you millions. And it took 36 seconds for Napoleon Hill to make that decision to say yes. And of course, he wrote the book Success Principles, that also was way, way, way too thick. So then they turned into Think and Grow Rich, which is a smaller version of that, that's now gone on to become almost like one of the most referred books in the personal development industry. So I want to finish off with this, is that that one thing, that one action, essentially, that his stepmother did created a ripple effect that now has impacted so many people by reading that book in order to create better success in their business, better success in their life. And I believe this is the key to leadership, is creating a ripple effect of empowerment, a ripple effect of the right kind of vision, and a ripple effect of just helping people to essentially believe that they can be a better version of themselves and go on to essentially following the right example to becoming the better version of themselves. So that's my LOVE acronym. So I hope that's given value to everybody. I'm here to, of course, answer any questions that you've got in terms of that. And James, back over to you.
Wow, fantastic. Modern speakers, anyone on the stage, please don't even flash your mic. Just unmute and give it a whoop, give it a cheer, give it a round of applause. Emperor Sini Adamidis, everybody. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Guys, before we do anything else, there is currently 362 people tuned into this room live. We've now had 2,738 people who've come through the room. Do me a favor, guys. Go up and give Efrosini a follow. She's on the top row with the little green bean next to her name as a moderator. And she's top row in the middle. Go and click on her face and give her a follow here on Clubhouse and over on social media, because she's only been dabbling in Clubhouse so far, so she's only got a couple of hundred people so far. So let's get her up to 500 followers before we let her go today, and make sure you go and follow her on her Instagram as well. If you've enjoyed that conversation, maybe take a screenshot as well and share it out on Instagram as well, and at tag Efrosini, and also at tag the Winners Club, at the Winners Club, and we will retweet anyone who shares a screenshot or a selfie or a quote that they've taken from Efrosini's keynote presentation there. We will share that out. But what we're going to do now, we're going to offer it up. So modern speakers, if you'd like to flash your mics, if you'd love to ask Efrosini a question. We'll go back to the sort of the more broad topic of leadership and sharing all that kind of stuff in a little while, but we're just going to quiz Efrosini for a little while. Let's go to Lucien first, because Lucien's always got a good question.
Well, do you know what, James, I'm going to let you down. I haven't got a question. I wanted to tell you that you've just absolutely blown me away. I listened so intently, and you know, I usually write down questions that I've got, and as I was listening, you were answering the questions, and I just want to say I'm in absolute awe, and I love your grounded, very pragmatic yet so emotionally intelligent approach, and I can see why James really enjoyed working for you with you. Absolutely brilliant, so thank you so much is what I wanted to say, James.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, we'll take compliments, questions or compliments. Maybe that should be the round that we're going to do now. Fantastic. Guys, I'm just going to do a quick Efrosini update. 161 followers. We've still got 349 to go. No, 339 to go. Good maths today. Till we get to that 500 mark. No one's leaving this lecture theatre. And I think of it as a lecture. future until we get FRCD up to 500 views. Let's go to Alan next because he sounds like he's on a spin bike. It sounds like a dirty phone call, so we'll get him out of the way.
Effie, my sister, what's happening? Oh my gosh, I got to tell you, I was so happy to come onto this room and see that you were on the stage. And I thought, fantastic, Effie's on Clubhouse. And then when James said you were the speaker, I thought, perfect, what a great morning. I was in another business room, and that's why I came to this room so late, because I was in a fantastic conversation on business and entrepreneurship since 5:30 a.m. this morning with one of my friends out in Dubai, awesome dude. And I just came in here, I thought, wow, Effie's speaking, fantastic, I love what you said. I don't have a question either, James. I just want to tell Effie that I love her, I miss her, I haven't seen her for ages. We've been friends for a long, long time, with her and her brother George. She is a true leader, she is a rock star, she creates transformation, she influences people so amazingly. Effie, I'm so glad you've come to Clubhouse, it's going to add so much value everywhere, my friend. I can't wait to see you again, wrap my arms around you and hug you tight.
Alan, my friend, firstly, it was so good to see your face pop up as well. You're one of those people that every time you speak, you really light up the room. And it's not just because of how powerful you are as a communicator, but it is because you speak from the heart. So your words mean a lot to me, my friend. And I have to tell you, you're the only person that that has called me Effie in my lifetime and still gets to live. So just a future note.
I knew you were going to say that. You've said to me that 3 times before, and I'm very honored that I'm the only person who can say that and still live. I love you.
Love you too, my friend.
I was just thinking that. I was like, can I drop, because I got told off for EFRO years ago, so I've dropped that one now. I was like, can I get away with Effie? I probably won't try. I'll just go for Miss Adamides. I'll keep it very structured today and very formal.
Efrosine is good for me.
All right, flash your mics, Modern Speakers. If you've got a question that you'd love to ask Efrosine, let's go to the lovely Anna next. Anna, coming to you.
Thank you, James. Hello, Efrosine. How are you this morning?
Thank you, Anna. I'm awesome. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. And thank you, James, Paul, and Ashley for having me. And good morning, good evening to everyone. Efrosine, I am from Lebanon, and I came to the United States through Cyprus. So Cyprus holds a very special place in my heart. And I'm so happy to see that you are from Cyprus. I love your leadership style. I love how you speak of leadership. I love how grounded, as Lucienne said, and how you, just your journey of evolution from understanding from authoritarian leadership without, you know, just admiring somebody as a leader from antiquity to deciding, you know what, it's better to be an empowering type of leader. And also, I loved how you said that leaders turn obstacles into opportunities. Now, I'm interested, and of course, how you shared the story of Dubai, and just incredible. I love everything that you shared here. As somebody who's dedicated her life of preparing the future leaders of America and the world, I've had over 140,000 kids go through our programs. My question to you is this, Efrosine, when did you decide that you could be this great leader? Because I believe you are a great leader. To be able to be inspiring and the way you see the world and to inspire us all here, almost 400 of us, it takes a great leader to do that. So when did you decide? Because for me, it was a decision to be a great leader. So I would love to hear your story. Thank you. I'm Anna and I'm complete.
Nice to meet you, Anna. And you're more than welcome to come back to Cyprus and visit anytime. I've been to Lebanon, love Lebanon as a country, and I love Lebanese people and food, of course. So to your question, when did I decide to be a leader? I knew that I always wanted to play a bigger role, but at the beginning, I saw myself more as a manager, I guess because of the career path that I took. And I didn't know the difference between managing people and leading people, essentially, until I came across my mentor. And one of the things that he said to me, he goes, it's a different thing when you're leading people and people want to follow you and do everything that they want to do because they want to, rather than because your position demands it so. And I love the way that he articulated that. And because I met him and I realized that he was someone that inspired me to be a better version of themselves. And he said to me, he goes, you have the ability to be one of the strongest leaders in Europe at the time in our business. And I can't say that I believed this straight away. I did believe that I knew that I had the work ethic, but it took that belief of someone in me to to sit there and essentially reflect on and go, maybe I could be that person. Maybe, you know, my mentor knows more than I do, clearly, because he has better results. So if he believes in that, who am I to doubt it? And that was the moment that I decided that I would make it my mission to become a better leader. But not only that, to give that gift to people as well of helping them to see their future potential rather than their current circumstances.
Love that. Great answer.
That's amazing. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Great question as well from Anna, as always. Anna is just one of my favorite people. She's so insightful, isn't she? So wise. Right, guys, just to do a quick room. Well, easy for me to say. Put your teeth back in. Just to do a quick room reset. This is the Daily Habits of High Performance. We're talking about lessons in leadership today, and you guys are tuned in to the Winners Club. There is currently 362 people listening. We've had over 3,000 people listening this morning already, which is unbelievable. Click the little green Monopoly house above Efrosini's head and go and follow the Winners Club if you're not yet doing so, because we are doing loads and loads of cool rooms on an absolute daily basis. We've got breakout rooms, we've got regular rooms, we've got contributors coming on, we've got global leaders, celebrities, sports stars, you know, business leaders, etc. But you're only going to find out about it if you go and follow the Winners Club. Make sure you give all of the moderators with the green bean a follow as well, especially if you're new here. I see we've got hundreds of party hats down the bottom, which is fantastic. Welcome to all the newbies. Glad to have you here. Welcome to the clubhouse. Welcome to the clubhouse. I said like my mum then. Welcome to the clubhouse. Welcome to clubhouse and welcome to the Winners Club. And the most important call to action right now, guys, go and give Efrosini a follow. She's on the top row in the middle. We're at 181 people. Guys, we've still got 319, good maths today, to go until we end the lecture. We're not stopping and no one's going anywhere until Efrosini has 500 followers. Efrosini has just given us an amazing keynote presentation. And she's a leading global business growth and sales expert. She's built a sales force of 400,000 people, nearly 500,000 people who have worked under her or with her across 50 countries, generating in excess of $1 billion in revenue. And I've watched Efrosini build these businesses from a standing start. We've been pals for 15 years and she is very much the message that she preaches. So please, please, please go and give Efrosini a follow. She's kind of dabbling with Clubhouse, but she hasn't got many followers. Oh, come on. Go and give her a follow. What we're going to do in a minute, Modern Speakers, give us a flash of the mic if you would like to ask a question. Okay, cool. I've spotted a couple of people. Great. I'm also going to open up the hand raise now. So put your hand up if you'd like to come up, and only if you want to ask Efrosini a question. I'm going to open it up to everybody. So if you'd like to ask Efrosini a question, especially if you're new here to Clubhouse, we'd love to make that happen for some people. Do you know what? Let's bring Michael up. Let's bring Mary up. Let's bring Barsley up. Let's invite a couple of newbies to ask their question, shall we? Mary, we'll come to you first, my friend. Mary, who's just been brought up on stage. What's your question for Efrosini?
Hi, thank you so much. It was so incredible. I just absolutely loved it. And I love the word love. What is, I always use with my teams when it's tragic, make it magic. So I love the obstacles into opportunities. So I would like to know, when is one of your obstacles? How did you turn it into an opportunity? What is one that stands out to you in your career? So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Great question. So one of the times that I turned one of my obstacles into an opportunity is essentially, I remember I was in real estate for a number of years, and as many people sometimes had done in 2008, I had overextended myself. And with the crash that happened in 08, 09, found myself to be a few hundred thousand pounds in debt. And I went through that phase of, you know, feeling like a victim and it's not fair. And, you know, why did this happen to me? I'm a good person. And essentially, I remember having a conversation with someone and they said, listen, you want to have a big testimony? You got to have a big test. You know, this is your opportunity to essentially create a bounce back story, a comeback story, because essentially this is the kind of story that's going to inspire others. So essentially what I did is that I just literally got to work at that point, and I just kept on saying to myself, somebody else in the next few years is going to be in a similar situation to me, and they're going to be inspired by how I've been able to turn it around. So I owe it to them rather than myself. Because sometimes when we think about ourselves, we go inwards and we don't get inspired from that. But when you focus on others, it brings out a different part of you. And essentially, that was my biggest comeback year until, well, let's say last year. I was in the travel industry for a number of years, for about 10 years. And, well, we know what happened last year. Travel industry took a really, really big hit. So once again, I said to myself, well, I've done this before. I know what it's like to rebuild things. So I was able to create a brand new company in the middle of the pandemic last year, and also launched a podcast, thanks to the Podcast King, who helped me to launch it. I hit the top 10 charts in our launch week. And essentially, I leveraged the fact that it's that no matter what challenge that you've actually got, there's always a way that you can come back from it. And your comeback is always going to be so much bigger than the last time that you actually did it. So that's my philosophy now. Does that help?
Yes, thank you so much. Similar story with myself in business, so thank you. I really appreciate it. It's great.
Great question. Thank you, Mary. And thank you for a good answer. Sorry, Tao, I think your mic keeps unmuting. Sounds like you're driving. Maybe you're pocket dialing us. Let's open it up to Barcelé. Hopefully I've pronounced that correctly. I probably haven't because you're French. Apologies. Je ne comprends pas le français. Bonjour, ça va aujourd'hui? Have you got a question for Efrosini?
Yeah. Thanks so much. Allow me to speak. My name is Barcelé. The question is, sorry for my French. Thanks so much, James. I like your French accent. My question is, how we can create a good ritual, because being entrepreneur is about vitality, and the vitality create productivity. How you create your own routine, and what for you is the best routine to having a good vitality, to have a good productivity? So I'm basically and I complete.
Thank you for that question, basically. I hope I said that correctly.
Basically.
Awesome. I can't do a French accent like James, but I love the French accent.
I'd love to hear you try that.
No. So good rituals. Very good question and very important question. I think rituals is what creates success. And my rituals is basically investing the first 2 hours of my day on me. Sometimes in order to become selfless, you need to go through a season of becoming selfish. And I know that when you're in a position where you're giving people a lot of energy and you're serving others, firstly, you got to fill up your own tank. So the first 2 hours that I start my day with is got to do with mindfulness. Personal development is a very, very big part of my life. So listen to a podcast and also reading 15 to 20 pages from a great book. And some daily exercise. I used to work out a lot more, but I'm recovering from an injury right now. So some type of exercise that enables me to clear out my mind. And that's what I do sort of like for the first 2 hours of the morning, as well as essentially identifying what are the top three things that I want to achieve today in order to make today a successful day. And my top three goals for the day are a reflection of my weekly goals, that are a reflection of my monthly goals, and also part of my greater plan. Because I think essentially when you're someone that's a go-getter, you tend to kind of fall into the trap of reacting to all these things that always keep on popping up that become urgent at that point in time. But it's very easy sometimes to lose time dealing with things and being productive, but not necessarily being effective. So I always base my day around the three major things that if I were to accomplish those today, everything else will need to fall around it to get me closer to the goals that I'm pushing for.
Love it. Great answer. Thank you very much. Cheers, Basie. Thank you for coming up. Am I right in thinking you run the French version of the town hall?
Yeah, I run the French version of the town hall. Yeah, I've done that. Thanks. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. So guys, if you're new to Clubhouse, which I know a lot of people are, basically the founders, every single Sunday, they actually do a town hall, which is kind of like popular in like startup entrepreneurial world. They basically tell sort of their investors, staff, shareholders, stakeholders, what's going on within the business. And then run that every single Sunday for 1 hour. And basically actually runs a sort of a recap room in French for les personnes françaises pour les Clubhouse. That's people who speak French on Clubhouse. That I probably didn't even say that, frankly. But yeah, so if you're not a native English speaker, because obviously the Clubhouse town hall is in England, whereas, you know, the guys are based in San Francisco, Silicon Valley. So I believe it's, you know, it's always in English. So if you would like to listen to it in your native French tongue, then make sure you give Basley a follow, and tune in this evening, because he runs a, I tuned into it the other day. I obviously couldn't understand a word you were saying, but I was like, this is very cool. I enjoyed it nonetheless. So thank you for what you're doing. Very much appreciated. Right, we're going to keep on doing some Q&A with the fantastic Effie. I was going into Spanish then. I'll leave it. Let's go to Michael next, because he came up as one of our newbies who got to ask a question from stage. So Michael, down the bottom of the stage, looking very cool in your sporting gear and your picture. What's your question for Efrosini, mate?
Good morning. I really enjoyed what the speaker was talking about. I was just passing by, and then wow, it's a very, very nice section. But I don't know, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, mate.
Yes, we can. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So I'm new to Clubhouse, but there's a question I want to ask. It's about building a team. Now, I'm working in a state. I'm based in another state, but I want to raise a business in a state that is different from the one I'm currently based in. Now, I've been creating a team, but one of the persons I want to put on my team is actually an high school teacher of mine when I was in high school. And then I really love him to be the team. If you were to be, and his age is like triple mine, like altogether triple mine. So what if you were to be the one, how do you get to pull somebody that was once your teacher to the team? So that was just my question. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. Efra, did you pick that up? So how would you pull in someone who used to be your teacher who's three times older than you? How would you get them into your team?
So the thing is, firstly, is do they want to get into your team? That's the first thing, because it doesn't matter what you want. It also matters what they want, because they also have to be excited in order to join your team. And the best way to do that is identify the things that they're actually looking for to create, and maybe without necessarily joining your team, but joining something greater, which is joining your mission. Because especially if someone used to be your teacher and they might look at you as their student and they might prejudge it from that perspective, but if you pull them into the mission and help them to understand that they're part of the greater mission rather than they're just following you and becoming a part of your team, that might be a better way to approach that from that perspective. But I would go to find out about their needs first and what they're looking for, and see how you can create a collaboration rather than just essentially coming across to your team.
Great stuff. Good answer. Thank you, Efrosini. So just quickly to reset the room, good afternoon or good morning, good evening, good day. Good day to you, wherever you are around the world. Welcome to this fantastic room, which is the Daily Habits of High Performance every single Sunday. Me and a little gang of pals who are all regular members of the Winners Club come together to talk about the daily habits of people who perform in a high way. You know, what is it that they do? What are their habitual routines, their practices, their habits? What do they do in the morning, the afternoon, the evening? How do they go about their day? How do they move from thing to thing? How do they manage their energies, etc.? And today we are doubling down and we are focusing in on lessons in leadership. We've had an amazing keynote presentation from the fabulous Efrosini Adimides, who's in the top line of the moderator's table. So scroll up, PTR, they say, pull to refresh. And the person who is in the middle at the top of the screen is Efrosini, and she is our keynote highlighted guest of today. So make sure you go and give her a follow, a leader who's got 400,000 people within her teams and they across 50 countries, contributing to over $1 billion in sales globally. So modern speakers, if you've got anything you'd like to ask Efrosini, please flash your mics. Kimberly King, you lovely human being, we'll come to you next, my friend.
Thank you, James. And good morning, everybody. Efrosini, thank you so much for your inspiring words this morning and your inspiring example. It's always great to see a great leader. And for me, extra special when that great leader is a woman standing in her power and her love. I really appreciated that, since I ascribe to the servant leadership model, that you unapologetically put love as the difference maker in the acronym. And like you, I use the geese analogy. I work in collaborative innovation and shared leadership, and it's really important to be able to help people see that there is another way besides hierarchy as a way to be a leader and to make space for other leaders and fly in the same direction. You've told us some things that will help us, and you've shared a story about your examples of adversity, but I'd like to know what you think is the difference between a good leader and a great leader. And maybe you've already answered with love, but I'd love to hear your thoughts beyond. But also, what do you think is standing in the way of becoming a great leader? What is the thing they must face, we must face, to become the great leader we wish to be?
Thank you for the kind words, Kimberly, and very good questions. So I think the answer to both, so what makes a good leader into a great leader? I think a good leader is the kind of person that creates followers. I think a great leader is the person that creates leaders that go on to create more leaders. And they create that ripple effect. And that's what I believe a great leader does. A great leader is someone that is happy with getting people to the level of point where they feel that their role has become insignificant to the growth of their organization, that their team feels so good and so confident in themselves that they feel that they don't need the leader. They love the leader, but they don't need the leader in order to progress. That's my belief in terms of that. And I think that the biggest obstacle that holds people back from being able to get to that point is always self-doubt. Unfortunately, and I've been through this situation many, many times. I remember at the beginning, I kept on asking myself, did I do the right thing? Did I say the right thing? You know, I remember reading a book by Coach John Wooden. And, you know, he was talking about the stick and the carrot. And they said to him, you know, how do you know when to give the stick to somebody? And how do you know when to give the carrot to somebody? He's like, well, sometimes you give the carrot to the person you should have given the stick to. And sometimes you give the stick to the person you should have given the carrot to. And I remember one time that I gave the stick to the wrong person and I lost that person. And that could have been a great leader. And I said to myself, sometimes, you know, in order to be able to grow, we got to stop questioning ourselves so much. We got to learn from our mistakes. And as long as we don't keep making the same mistakes, because there's definitely, that's an alarm bell right there. But go out and make fresh mistakes, because that's the only way that we're going to grow. And learn from the past, but don't look in the past. Just keep looking forward to the future and always ask yourself, what's a better lesson that I can learn today? And having the faith and the confidence that sometimes your heart's going to lead you in the right direction, because usually doubt lives in our head and our head is always going to tell us the lies. And that's why I think love is such a big part of it, because when you truly love and care about people and you care about their goals and you care about their vision and you care about where they're going, even if you sometimes tell them things that they're not going to like hearing, but they need to hear, they will feel the difference when you're telling those things to them and having those crucial conversations from a place of love.
Love that. Learn from the past, but don't always look in the past. Fantastic. Jan, are you flashing? Have you got a question for Efrosini?
I have a question for Efrosini, but also the world of appreciation. I really love what you said. I'm also coming from a small country. I'm coming from Czech Republic. And I love absolutely Cyprus, because my best friend, Charis, you know, is coming from Cyprus and he's living there. We studied together like 35 years ago in Prague. But my question to you would be, like, coming from such wonderful country and country with such historical roots, is there anything, Efrosini, you learn from, like, Greek philosophers, Greek, you know, history, the Cypriot history, and which you can use today in your leadership, you know, day to day? This is Jan, I'm done with speaking.
So Jan, firstly, thank you very much. And I love Prague. I've been to Prague 7 times and I plan to go many more times.
So next time you are here, I'm in Cyprus, we meet, you know, definitely.
Definitely. Let's connect on Instagram. So I do use Cyprus as an example because Cyprus is such a small country, 800,000 population. And one thing that I always say to people is that it doesn't matter the size of your country, it matters the size of your vision. Because I remember when we expanded one of our businesses into Cyprus and people were like, Cyprus, such a small country. And it's not going to grow big business because it's limited. It's such a small country. And the thing is, I said exactly to them, I said, it might be a small country, but I said over there, it's got 10,000 years of history and 10,000 years of essentially every single civilization kind of coming to try to take over Cyprus. So we're a country of fighters. And we have the fighting spirit, but now we choose to fight for our freedom rather than, you know, and in our dreams rather than political freedom. And the thing is that when we launched our business into Cyprus, I remember within about 5 years, we developed a customer base in Cyprus of 80,000 customers, so captured 10% of the population. And that was because I kept on saying to people, it doesn't matter the size of your country, it matters the size of your vision. So I think sometimes having a good philosophy, regardless of the history of where you're coming from, but always seeing, again, the different lessons that you can get from it. Because I think Cyprus and Greece, especially Greece, has been at the forefront of certain, so many different civilizations. But Greece has lost its way over the years. And of course, I don't want to get into politics, because I think sometimes people lose their vision. And I think at the times that we're actually going through right now, especially in the last couple of years in the world, there's so many people out there right now that are looking for a greater vision to buy into, a greater vision of hope and faith, and a greater vision of empowerment and helping people to realize that even though we've had a very challenging last couple of years in the world, I think we could go through one of the biggest booms in economic times if people are able to just change their perspective and see that this is just basically another challenge that many people can overcome regardless where they're coming from. Without going political on it.
Oh, you nearly went there. You nearly went there, but you swerved it. You dodged it beautifully there. Your PR background kicked into play and you dodged it. Fantastic. Well, guys, if you've enjoyed this conversation, please give Efrosini a massive round of applause. Flash your mics, mods and speakers, if you've enjoyed, if you've taken value. And if you haven't done so yet, please make sure you go to the top of the stage right now. Go to Efrosini's face. She's on the top row in the middle. Give her a little click on there. Give her a follow, hit that notification bell so you're informed every time that she's on the stage sharing other wisdoms and insights. And make sure you go through to her Instagram as well. Pop her a DM and I'm sure she'll respond to people throughout the day. And if you've, I see that loads of people have been tagging us on Instagram as well. Give Efrosini a tag on Instagram. Give the Winners Club a tag as well. And we will retweet all of that. Not retweet, we'll repost all of those stories that we've been tagged into. Efrosini, are you good for another few minutes? You got to go because I know we've had an hour with you.
I'm good for another 15 minutes.
Perfect. Right, mods and speakers. We've got loads of people who carried on flashing their mics. Let's go to Nichelle. Nichelle, we'll come to you, my friend.
Oh, thanks, James. G'day, Efrosini and Efaristol for sharing.
love it.
I've got rallies in Cyprus and I love them dearly. So it's really obvious that you are a selfless, compassionate, emotionally intelligent female leader. And I really... found everything that you said massively inspiring. I've got a really difficult conversation to have with somebody next week who doesn't align with our brand, wants to come and work with us. I've sort of dug a bit deeper into their social media feed. I run a community of teenagers and parents around education, sort of supporting each other. And when something damages your brand potentially or doesn't align with your core values, those conversations have to obviously occur. When was the last time you had a really difficult conversation where you had to sever a collaboration or a relationship, and how did you handle it? I'm Nichelle and I'm...
So, g'day, Michelle. It's so good to actually hear someone say g'day. with regards to crucial conversations, the last time I had a crucial conversation was probably about 3 days ago. And when I have crucial conversations, I try to also understand where people are coming from, because sometimes it's not what a person does, but it's what they mean to do, because our perception can distort our interpretation of something that they have done. So the reason that I would say that, and again, I don't know the details of the situation. I don't know what's actually happened to give a full clear answer of how I would go about doing it. But the one thing that I always have in my head is two things. Is it my perception that it's reaching this conclusion, or is it factual? And the second thing is that if, let's say, for example, there's some conversations that have resulted to me identify certain things, I'm always conscious about where that information's coming from. Because one thing that I've learned is that there's always three truths. There's their truth, your truth, and somewhere in the middle is the real truth. And based on that, I always try to really get an honest view of what that truth is before I take the necessary measures and have those conversations. I hope that helps without knowing too much background into it. But of course, if it's something that conflicts with your values as well, then obviously that's quite key. One of the biggest values that I've got is integrity. And I've always told my team that if you ever do anything to affect the integrity of our organization, our team and things like that, very much expect that there will be consequences to that, because the thing is that integrity is something that once you build it, you can lose it in a heartbeat, but it can take years to build.
Amazing. Thank you very much. That's great.
Awesome stuff. Thank you very much. Great question, Nichelle. Great answer. That is the Efrosini that I know and love a bit more, because you're talking about love this morning. And then you're like, if you do anything to ruin the integrity of the business, there'll be consequences. I'm like, there she is. There's the real Efrosini. Fantastic. She's back. I thought you'd gone soft over the last 15 years. What's going on? Right, guys, we've opened up the hand raise, so we're going to let a couple of other people get an opportunity to ask Efrosini a question. I'm going to bring a couple of people up. William's been up a couple of times trying to ask questions, and then we've got some more on the stage as well. So, William, I've just added you. If you'd like to come up on stage quickly, I will add you in next to ask your question. Oh, hang on, where's William gone? I've clicked the button again. Come on, William. Come on, William, we're all waiting for you while we're waiting. Make sure you go and give Efrosini a follow. She's top row in the middle. 214 people. Come on, guys, we need to get to 500. Is William here? No, William is not. He's just playing the hand raise game. Maybe he can't come up. Right, let's go to, I'm going to invite the next person. Is William there? Let's go to Holly. And while we're waiting for Holly or somebody to come up from the audience, I think maybe we're having a bit of a glitch. We'll let Shannon ask a question next, and then we'll come to Holly after that. So, Shannon, over to you, my friend.
Thank you, James. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Efrosini, for everything that you've said this morning. It's really inspiring. I loved what you said about taking your foot out of a footstep so that someone else can step into it. I've rephrased that really awfully, but I've got it all written down. So thank you for that. My question is around book recommendations. Obviously, you kind of got James on the path to self-development with Think and Grow Rich, but are there any other books that you would recommend? And just a massive thank you again for everything that you've shared this morning. It's really, really inspiring.
Thank you very much for your kind words. There's many books that I recommend, and I actually created a reading list that I'm happy to share with anybody, of course, that based on the path that you're on in terms of your entrepreneurial journey, the books that I believe that you should read if you're at the beginning of your entrepreneurial journey, based on if you're at the point where you're leading people, and based on the point whether you're wanting to create a legacy, the books that have inspired me over the years. But one of my books that, apart from Think and Grow Rich, because Think and Grow Rich for me is a book that I read every year. And no matter how many times that I've read it, there's still so many gold nuggets that I get from it. But How to Win Friends and Influence People, also a very, very powerful book that has helped me over the years. As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. As a Man Thinketh, so what I did with James tool in terms of mentorship is that I would always almost give an assignment when I started mentoring people, like I did to James. I would tell them, hey, look, I want you to go buy this book, and I want you to read it and then tell me what you got from it. And I would do that for two reasons. One, because it would guide them in the right direction of self-development. But the second reason is I wanted to see how quick they would read that book, because that would help me to identify how hungry they were to grow. And based on how quick they read it, then I would understand that they were really hungry and they were teachable, and that way would enable me to invest more time in them as well. But usually those are the three key books that I start with: As a Man Thinketh, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and Think and Grow Rich.
Brilliant. I wish I remember you telling me afterwards it was a bit of a test to see how fast I read the book. And I was glad because I got hooked. I think I read it in a weekend, came back on the Monday. I was like, I get it now. The penny has dropped. There's more to life than being in Boreham Wood. Thank God. Let's get out of here. No offense to Boreham Wood if you're listening. Holly, we'll come to you next, my friend, for a quick question. And then we're going to quickly wrap up before Efrosini has got to go at 11:15. So Holly, we'll come to you next.
Bless you. Thank you so much, James. Efrosini, I'm so thrilled that I came into this room just in time. I haven't heard all of your presentation this morning, unfortunately, but I have followed you everywhere and I am intrigued. I've seen on Instagram that your latest post says something about your whole life is able to be changed in a year. And being in this room just in the last few weeks has made an enormous difference to my life. I'm 58 and I'm interested to know whether you have many experiences of people, women particularly, but men and women in their 50s plus, who have financially and potentially also in their career, starting again, pivoting, and have very quickly managed to get their lives to where they would have been in a successful place had things not gone pretty seriously in the wrong direction for them. I'm Holly, I'm done speaking.
So thank you, Holly. Look, I feel where you're at right now. I can feel it from the emotion in your voice. And one thing I can tell you is that age is just a number. It doesn't matter how old you are when something like that happens. Even if you're younger, older, it always feels difficult when you're at that place. But at the same time, it can also be an exciting phase because you have the opportunity to rebuild yourself and relaunch yourself. And I've worked with many people in different demographics. Actually, one of the stories that I was very, very proud of, still I'm very proud of, is a gentleman that I worked with in his 70s. And he got to about the age of 72, realizing that after working 50 years, couldn't afford to retire. And his pension was about 300 euros a month working in Greece. So he had to take a job working for a petrol station, getting paid not even minimum wage. He was getting paid cash in hand so that he can get paid below minimum wage, because essentially he had no choice. But we started working together, and the first thing that I said to him is that sometimes we are where we need to be in order to go to the next level. And I said, as long as you believe there's more out there and as long as your action backs up what you believe, everything can change. And literally within 18 months, he got to the point where he started making more money on a monthly basis than he was actually making working full-time for years. And the most precious gift that he was able to do is that to become a full-time granddad. But he went through that season of rebuilding himself and having to let go of the old beliefs that he had in the past. And that's a story that I'm very, very proud of. So I think it doesn't matter the age that you are, it just matters how hungry you are to change it. And I think as long as you put yourself in the right kind of an environment that nurtures that, and sometimes if you have an environment as well that's very, very key, and an environment that inspires you, pushes you to become better, an accountability environment, a mastermind environment, like this kind of either listening to this podcast or plugging into this type of rooms on Clubhouse, where sometimes you can quieten the voices in our head that sometimes we all have, that are the voices that hold us back, and increase the loudness of the voices of moving forward and pushing through and of empowerment until we become strong in ourselves to keep pushing.
Bless you, Efrosini. Sorry.
Stay in touch. I want to hear how your journey progresses.
That's awesome.
If there's anything that I can do, DM me, okay?
Thank you very much. Great question, Holly, and great answer, Efrosini. Thank you very much. Apologies. I was trying to see if anybody had DM'd questions, and then my phone started playing All You Need Is Love by the Beatles. But maybe that was a Freudian thing. Maybe that's a Freudian thing. Maybe it was the universe. Right, we've got time for just one more question. I said we'd give it to someone who we hadn't heard from before, so we'll do exactly that. William, are you there, my friend? I know you'd asked a question several times when the hand raise was open, so we'll come to you next. What's your question for Efrosini, my friend?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, everybody. Thank you, Mr. James. I had something for talking, but sorry, unfortunately, be here. The situation got changed, and I can't speak right now.
Okay.
I'm enjoying you guys, by the way. Thank you, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, William, for coming up. How polite is that? I can't speak right now. What a lovely man. Right, we better wrap up, though, haven't we? Because we've already gone 15 minutes over. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wherever you're tuned in, before we go, give Efrosini, please, one more time, a massive round of applause. We wanted to have a powerful conversation around lessons in leadership, and I think we got exactly that today. Make sure you go and give her a follow as well. She's here on Clubhouse, but not very often. But go and give her, hopefully we can encourage her to be here more often. So go give her a follow, hit the notification bell, go through to her Instagram and jump into her DMs as well. Because she's got a lot of wisdom and insight to share. And Efrosini, I just want to publicly say it's been a pleasure to know you over the last 15 years. And as I mentioned at the beginning, this is not blowing smoke up your bum. You were the reason that I ever first picked up a book and decided that actually I could be, do and have more in my life if I decided to do it. And you were the inspiration behind a very potentially dead-end job actually being the catalyst to creating the life that I now lead. So I'm very grateful to have you in my life. I was grateful for the energy and the effort that you put into an otherwise slightly disillusioned young man. And you will always be someone who inspires and motivates me. And you'll always be someone who I'm very proud to have on my phone list. And more than anything, I'm just proud to watch your continued journey. I'm proud to call you my friend. And thank you for being here this morning. I love you dearly. And I think you're a fantastic human being.
I love you too, my dear James. And honestly, you're a true testament that sometimes the mentor can become the mentee. I've followed your journey as well, and you inspire me every day with the person that you've become. And how much you have accomplished, and I know that it's just the beginning for you, my friend. This has been my first Clubhouse experience, so thank you for making it more memorable. And I'm glad that people got value from this. And guys, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram if there's anything that I can do to add value to you, your teams, your organizations. Always happy to help. Take care, guys. Thanks again, James.
Thank you so much. What would you really call me when we're not on Clubhouse? You're being posh.
Burtmeister.
My little Burtmeister. So if everyone's going, oh, you shouldn't call her Efro. She calls me in my head. She goes, whenever I pick up the phone, she's like, hey, my little Burtmeister. So there we go. Efrosini Adamidis, everybody. Go and give her a follow. We're going to quickly reset the room after this. Efro, thank you for being here. Have a fantastic day. Thank you for being the person you are. Guys, we're coming back for more discussions on leadership after this short musical interlude.
Thank you, Burtmeister.
You're welcome, Fro. So guys, we're going to be carrying on the conversation now, lessons in leadership. We've got some amazing people on the stage, some amazing coaches, mentors, experts, business leaders, icons in their space. We've got DreamWorks film producers. We've got coaches, mentors. I can't wait to carry on this conversation. A lot of engagement this morning. Thank you for being here. As always, make sure you click onto that green Monopoly house. Go and give the Winners Club a massive follow. How good was that? Dun, dun, dun. Ole, ole. Wow. Who enjoyed that then? Modern Speakers, give us a flash of the mic. She's gone now. So if you didn't enjoy it, you can tell the truth now. But she's phenomenal, isn't she? She's been one of my very, very good pals for a very long time. And every time I get to sort of see her on a stage or to speak or to give a keynote or something like that, I'm like, wow, she's a proper powerhouse. Fantastic. Right, we're going to go around the stage now. Modern Speakers, give us a flash of the mic. Lessons in leadership. What does leadership mean to you? What lessons have you picked up? Have you worked with great leaders? Have you worked with terrible leaders? What would you like to share on leadership? Let's go to Alan. Alan, coming to you, mate.